You know, we can gain a lot of information on you know, each guy, you know, in a lot of different ways, you know, how they pay attention, how they learn, obviously how they practice, how they compete. And you know, I think it's a great opportunity for us. You know, for me personally, you know, when Rod Graves called me about possibly doing this, you know, I felt like it was a great opportunity. Rather than sitting in the stands and watching it, you're out there coaching. You know, we'd all like to be coaching in the game that's coming up, but you know, this is the next best thing at this time of the year, is to be able to be coaching out on the field with these guys.
But what about the fact that you have four or five new coaches? You get to integrate them into what you're doing on the fly as part of your coaching staff here.
Yeah, you know, these guys are good coaches. These are professional coaches. You know, you take a guy like Brad Seeley. He's been around for a long time. He's an excellent football coach. We're a long way off from having a completed staff, so we'll release that all to you guys when it's all completed. But, you know, obviously, you know, Brad's the special teams coordinator, and you know, it's really good to watch him teach, and you can, and even in your staff meetings, you can really kind of get ahead on, you know, the way we do things back in Houston. So we've got a good group of guys here working with these players, and I really think the players should take advantage of it. That's in the best interest of the players.
You talked about Brad beyond the teaching part. As you said, what are the things that you liked about him bringing him onto your staff?
Yeah, Brad's been doing this a long time. He's a championship coach. He's a winner. You know, he's a really, really good teacher. He's an excellent evaluator, which you have to be as a special teams coordinator. You know, the special teams coordinator, other than the head coach, is in touch with everybody on the team. You know, linemen, skill players, I mean, everybody on the team, with maybe the exception of the quarterbacks, unless they're a holder or something, you know. So he's really a guy that's hands-on with everybody, and he's a guy that I've known for a long time, and we're really fortunate to have him on our staff.
What'd you like about Anthony to promote him to DB's coach?
Yeah, Midge has done a good job for us. He's paid his dues. He's a really good teacher. The players respect him. They know how hard he works. Good communicator. He's got good energy. We interviewed a few guys for that job, and we felt like Anthony you know, earned the opportunity to be the secondary coach, so we're happy to have him on board.
Is it tough to get what you want installed in such a short period of time with all these guys for these All-Star games?
I mean, I told these guys today, like, I have a 12-year-old son, Michael, at home that could run these plays. I mean, we're not reinventing the wheel. You can only be in certain formations. You know, this is not a scheme fest. This is an evaluation fest. This is a chance for these guys to go out and compete. You really don't want them thinking too much, and if they are, then that might tell you something about them.
What you like about Danny as your running backs coach?
Yeah, good guy. Again, we talked to several people about that job. You know, Danny's worked for Coach O'Leary down in Central Florida. He's worked in the pros, CFL. He's got a good view of offense. Was a quarterback. Has coached quarterbacks before. He'll work with the running backs for us. You know, good energy guy, really good person. Really excited to have him.
Did you have a chance to talk to Davenport at all? Marcus Davenport from Texas San Antonio. Did you have a chance to meet with him?
Not yet. No, we've met all of them, but I haven't had a chance to sit down. Probably the guys I've spoken to the most aren't even on my team. That's the Penn State guys. Because those are some of the guys that we recruited when I was there. So it's really good to see, you know, Mike Gesicki and Deshaun Hamilton and, you know, Marcus Allen. And then Adam Brenneman, who played at UMass, is on our team. So those are all guys that were with me at Penn State.
Well, is it more important because you don't have a first and second round pick to get in to know these guys more?
I mean, regardless of where your picks are, you know, we're a long way off from that. You know, we're a long way off from the draft. You know, obviously we know where we are as we sit here today in the draft. But, you know, I think you guys have been covering this league for a long time. You know that things change every day, every minute of the day. So. I think the biggest thing about this week for us is really, like you've already said, and what I've already said, is really getting to know these guys, evaluate them, and try to teach them and see if we can get them to execute at a high level.
We haven't seen you on camera since Mike left. Your thoughts on Mike?
Yeah, Mike's a great coach. You know, it's inevitable that Mike was going to be a head coach in this league. You know, it's too bad it's in our division. But, you know, no, that's the way it goes in the National Football League. You know, there's only 32 of these jobs, and when you have great guys on your staff, they're going to have opportunities to be coaches. And, you know, Mike did a great job for us while he was in Houston. And, you know, we wish him the best, except for two Sundays in Tennessee. But we definitely wish him and his family, Jen, Tyler, and Carter, wish them the best.
Bill, how about the officials in having Romeo, where you can slide him rather with the D.C. spot?
Romeo's, I mean, Mark, you guys have been around me for going on almost 5 years now. You know how important Romeo is to me personally. And then obviously the coaching resume speaks for itself. But Romeo's a great person. You know, he's a guy that you can go in there and talk to and talk about all different kinds of things, you know, relative to coaching, relative to off the field. Players have a great deal of respect for him. He's the same guy every day. He's a really good person, and I know the McNairs and myself, we feel very fortunate to have him on our staff.
What's left for you to do to finish up your staff, generally speaking?
I'm not going to get into that. You know, there's a lot of moving parts. You know, there's a lot of different ways we could go. We just want to get the best guys that fit, you know, our culture, what we're trying to, you know, what we've been trying to create here and done a decent job of it, but took a step back this year, obviously, but we just want guys that really understand our work ethic, the way we coach, the things that we believe in. And so, you know, we're not in a rush. We want to find the best guys.
Bill, it's not just a comfort level with Romeo either. You know, an outsider would say, well, he's comfortable. It's an easy. It's not just that. It's the wealth of knowledge he brings.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, if it was about comfort, I'd probably have my wife come in and be the defensive coordinator. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even understand what that means. Like, it's about having a guy in there that's a great person, high character, a great coach. Like you said, very knowledgeable, got an excellent history in the league. There's just so many things. You know, we could be here all day talking about Romeo and what I think about him and what this league thinks about Romeo. But, you know, it's really good that we have him on our staff.
How important is it, Coach, to put these collegiate kids into NFL-style drills this week to see how they do in things you'll need them to do, but maybe they weren't asked to do in college?
Well, that's a great point, because that's something we talked a lot about last night, you know, with them in our first meeting, was our ability to teach them in the meetings, then go to a jog through, kind of choreograph how we're going to run these plays, how we're going to run these drills, and then actually do it at full speed against each other in practice. And that's really the way the NFL works. You know, in college, it's hard because they have class, they have study hall, they've got tutors, they've got training table, they've got a lot of different things going on here. This is all football from 8:30 in the morning until, you know, probably late at night with a lot of these guys with their interviews. So it's a good orientation into what it means to play in this league.
What is Adam Brenneman? You obviously have some familiar. He brings a different resume than the other guys. What's he bring to the table, do you think, for an NFL team?
You know what? Look, I have not, to be honest with you. I watched a little bit of him on tape before we came here. I'm very close with Mark Whipple, so I knew the success that he was having there when he was with us at Penn State, which was a while ago. He's a very athletic guy, had good hands, smart guy, hard worker. So it'll be good to get back and get back with him and see how he's improved and see where he can take his game.
But you're kind of familiar with the political stuff he did and getting a state senator elected and everything.
I don't think he's running for office here, though. You know what I mean? I think he's he's trying to make a pro team, so I don't really care about that stuff, to be honest with you.
Bill, you worked with Matt Patricia in New England. What do you think he's going to be like as a head coach? What does he need from the Lions, I guess?
You've got to be careful. He's still under contract, I think, with the Patriots, so okay. I know you guys all have him.
Well, regardless of the Lions, what do you think he'll be like as a head coach?
Great. No, he's an excellent coach, very, very smart, really hard worker, you know. A really hard worker. And you know, they're all like that in New England. They all work very, very hard. And he's done a great job. You know, he's a guy that's worked at the side of Bill for a long time now, you know. And so, he'll get his opportunity, whether it's in a couple of weeks or whether it's in a year or two, whatever it is. I don't really know what's going on. But I think that he's an excellent coach. And, obviously he's done a great job in New England.
Bill, could you talk about how special it is to have Brian on board now, and you guys are teaming up to do this thing?
Yeah, it's good. You know, Brian and I see things in very similar ways. You know, we understand each other. We're able to communicate daily, for a long time during the day. You know, he's probably already sick of me. You know, I send him texts, say, let's meet up on this, let's meet up on that. But, he's a great person, very calm guy, very smart guy. He's got excellent thoughts about how to create the most competitive roster we can, and so it's been a good start to working with Brian.
Bill, can you speak a little bit about Shaquin Griffin, the linebacker from Central Florida? I know you haven't seen him on a practice field yet, but just the rarity of what he's doing. His brother obviously already in the league, but that alone itself, and then when you add the element of his
his hand and that whole issue. That what how special is this?
To me, it's very special. Uh-huh. You know, I've been doing this for a pretty long time now, and I've been fortunate to meet some very special human beings that have overcome a lot of different things. You know, we have David Quisenberry in Houston who overcame, you know, really a horrible form of cancer to actually play football this year and to play at a high level. So when you look at a guy like Griffin, who I'm just getting to know, I've seen a little bit of tape on him where he plays the game very fast. He plays aggressively. He doesn't let his handicap slow him down. You know, he does what he needs to do to be able to make plays on the football field, and that's really what this is all about. So it'll be good to see him out on the field today.
He's playing a bunch of different positions. What are you anxious to see?
Players will be here at 11:10. Our first group of podium interviews will be on the podium.
Let me let this guy finish. I can't hear you guys. Go ahead.
I was going to say, he played a bunch of different positions. What are you anxious to see?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I really can't answer that. You know, we're gonna probably look at him. You know, a lot of that isn't necessarily where we want him, but the NFL, you know, Phil and the NFL scouting, you know, those guys, they kind of get involved where every team would like to see this guy. There's a consensus, and so we'll, with all the guys, you know, we have offensive linemen that are going to play center that have never played center before. You know, we're going to do different things based on what the scouts and what we need to see. We're working together with the NFL, so we'll kind of see how that goes as the week goes along.
Phil, how hard is it to find a new quarterback?
I think it's one of the hardest things to do in sports. I think it takes, you know, from a coaching and scouting standpoint, it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of time with the person, you know, one-on-one, not just watching tape. There's so much more that goes into that position than just what the guy does on film. You know, I think that you have to look at everything. You know, what is his leadership skills, his communication skills, his instincts, his awareness of the position and the leadership role that comes with that position. There's just a lot that goes into it, and I'm learning things about that quarterback position every single day, to be honest with you. I'm always learning. We've got some good guys to work with here. We're excited about that, and but it's a very, very difficult position to evaluate. You have to really take your time and put a lot of thought into it.
But what do you try not to second guess yourself when you say, this is my guy, like maybe not, and it's got to be...
You can't be in this business as a second guesser. You have to, especially when you get to the head coach or coordinator level or general manager level, you have to be a decision maker. You have to go with, once you come to a consensus on what that is and who that is, then you have to go with it. But you never really know about a guy until the lights are on and he's out there and he's playing in an NFL football game. That's when you really, to me, that's when you really find out about what type of player he is, what type of leader he is, how he overcomes adversity. How he communicates with his teammates, that's when you really find out about it.
Phil, what do you think of the Mike Mauti comeback he was able to make?
Yeah, I mean, I can't say enough about Mike Mauti. He's meant a lot to me personally, what he did for us at Penn State and what he's overcome with the colitis in New Orleans. We had him in for a workout. We were close to signing him, but, he's from New Orleans, and he felt, the pull and the draw to go back to play for Coach Payton. And he's a really tough, tough-minded guy, excellent special teams player, and, great leader. He's got all the qualities that you're looking for in a football player.
So what are the Bears going to get in Charles London?
Say that again?
In Charles London, what are the Bears going to get in him as a coach?
Yeah, smart guy, hard worker, good communicator, a guy that really puts the time in, wants to learn, wants to, be kind of like a sponge that learns a new system. He felt like he wanted to have a fresh start. That was something that he and I have been together a long time. I have a great deal of respect for Charles, and he'll do a great job for Matt.
As you go through this process each year, what have you found to be the most difficult aspect for players transitioning from college to the pro game?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I think there's so many things that go into it. I think that, basically you're a little bit on your own. You have money in some of these guys, and you have to learn how to manage your time, which, in a lot of these in college, especially in the scholarship situations, you have people there managing your time for you. And I think that's something that we as an organization
are
always looking
to improve, if you would like to grab a player
to develop rookies and teach them about the best way to go about being a pro football player. time management, money management, taking care of your body, nutrition, how to practice, how to carry yourself in the building. You know, there's a lot that goes into it that, you know, we talked to the guys this week about quite a bit.
You incorporated last more one. Of a run-pass option with the Deshaun.
Players, please make sure your name tags are visible. Thank you.
More toward that when you see these quarterbacks coming out, like a Mayfield and a Watson. Do you see more of it tilting that way to get them involved more earlier?
You know, I think the game to me, like, you know, goes in cycles. I think that, right now, I heard somebody say this yesterday, that the college football is basically, obviously a feeder system to the pros, and, a lot of what these guys are doing offensively in the college game is scoring, a lot of points per game, moving the ball, a lot of yards. The rules are different. Obviously the talent level is different, but there are certain things that these guys are doing in college that when they come to the pros that they're really comfortable doing, and they're able to apply to pro football. So I think we're always studying the college game. We're always studying our game. And because, like you said, a lot of people are incorporating these different things. And, I think it's something that if you have the right guy pulling the trigger back there, then you have a chance to really do something with that type of offense.